Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Welcome, welcome. And what connection do you have? Well, we constantly pray for you guys. We give to you through the Global Mission Committee, and we're so honored that the both of you are here today. So I've got a few questions for you. The first one is for you, Becky. So for those of us here who don't know anything about you, don't know about your ministry, tell us more about your ministry in Mexico.
Thank you. If we can go to the next slide. So as Dima mentioned, we live in a region of Mexico. So they did a recent survey and they kind of the top line shows you. So that little orange bar is how many evangelical Christians there are in Mexico. So Mexico as a whole, there's not that many evangelical Christians. But if in the map, in the bottom left-hand corner, there's kind of a purple area. That's what's known as the Circle of Silence. So that's where there's this concentration of 23 million people, under 1% evangelical Christians, many towns, no gospel presence, no evangelical church. So kind of moving on to the next slide, this shows us a little bit kind of the culture in which we're living at. So the photo on the left, so it's a very kind of religious area, lots of traditions, but no real understanding of forgiveness through Jesus, the salvation that comes through Jesus. So as a result, there's very few evangelical churches. A lot of the pastors have no training. So one of the big ministries that we do is something called Predica Vida. Predica Vida is a Bible training course, a Bible handling course, kind of similar to the Cornhill course. And Donald and a team of teachers, and they are working to train up leaders, train up pastors, train up anyone that's serving in their local church. So they work towards, really working alongside local churches to equip and to help them plant really Christ-centered churches. So that's done through an online training course and then intensive workshops where they'll go out to churches and be training. So that's kind of one area of our ministry. The second area is we live in a very needy area and a lot of gospel need. So we want to be a family that's trying to live out the gospel, whether that's amongst school mums, whether that's kind of in kids' activities. But we also run an English school, which is the top right-hand photo. This really kind of bridges the gap between us and the community. So we teach English classes. We're trying to make relationships with the students or their families, with the hope that this will give us an opportunity to start studying the Bible with them.
Great. Thank you so much. And second question goes to you, Donald. Could you share a particular experience or a story that would give us a flavor of what ministry is like on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so 2014, we got to meet a young man by the name of Jesus Chavero. He had just come out of drug gangs and life without Jesus. He was born in a very dysfunctional family. When he was about 13 years old, he got involved in gangs, and later on, he actually became one of the leaders of the gang he was affiliated with. And when he was 17, he was ambushed and stabbed several times in his stomach and the back, and he was left to die on the street. Marcelo and Lucas, they got him and took him to the hospital. The doctors thought that he would actually be a vegetable. But later on, a Christian visited him in hospital, shared the gospel message with him, and he recovered. A year later, in 2014, he came to us looking to be discipled. Today, Jesus Chavero is one of our teachers in the Predica Vida course. And he planted a church, which is a growing church, in an area which is very plagued with crime, drug addiction, and so on. But because he comes from that sort of background, he knows how to get the gospel across among the people whom he lived through.
Great. And then just lastly, how can we be praying for you?
Yeah, so we've got some prayer points on the slide. So really pray that kind of through the Predica Vida course, we can really help people to really understand and faithfully teach the Bible. That we can, just kind of have real open opportunities with the people that we know, real gospel opportunities to be able to study the Bible with them, to share the good news that comes through Jesus. And then just pray that kind of as a family, you know, we would keep Jesus at the center of our lives. And I think especially that we can disciple our boys well.
Absolutely. Well, let me pray for you both now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Donald and Becky, for their heart to serve you across the world, Lord. Thank you for the ministry that they're doing in the Circle of Silence. Thank you that they love the Lord Jesus and they want to make his name known everywhere, Father. Continue to work through them, through their ministry, through their Bible course, through their English school, through everything that they do, Lord, would the name of Jesus be lifted high and help them with their family and discipling their kids. Help them in the difficult times and the suffering and the setbacks and the detours. I pray, Father, that they would persevere, knowing that eternal life is ahead of them with you. Would that keep them going? Would you continue to sustain them by the power of your Spirit? And Father, we thank you for this church that supports them so generously, loves them, and prays for them. Please help us to continue to do that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. Before Donald comes back up to preach, let me now invite up Anne for our reading for this morning. Thank you, Anne.
The reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 31 to 47, page 1079. Testimonies about Jesus. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the very work that the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies the Father that has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice or seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me and to have life. I do not accept human praise, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me, but others come in their own names, and you will accept them. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? But do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Welcome to Emmanuel. If we haven't met, I'll be good to say hi right after the service. And if this is your first time here, I hope you feel a warm welcome. Let's pray as we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, we are very thankful because you are good. We are thankful because your word tells us the truth. We pray that you help us as we look at this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. Mariana, one of our missionaries in Mexico, shared the gospel with Berta. After a year of evangelistic Bible studies, similar to the 3-2-1 course, Berta said, "I know Jesus is the only one who saves, but I am scared to lose my work, my mother, and my whole town." When you and I come to John chapter 5, we see that the great works testify about Jesus Christ. Verse 36 tells us that precisely. "So that all may believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ." But here in John chapter 5, we get to see an involved 38-year-old man healed. And in chapter 9, a blind man sees. We are in a sandwich of two miracles that Jesus performs. And when we have a look, the miracles are both performed on the Sabbath. Enough to get the religious police involved. But Jesus offers life to both men. The invalid man at the first part of John chapter 5 and the blind man in John chapter 9. Here, what we see is Jesus offering life. And one man seems to reject, yet the other one seems to accept. So today, in our passage, in chapter 5, verses 31 to 47, the question for us is, will you reject Jesus or will you accept him? Will you reject or accept Jesus? Two testimonies to help us understand what's going on in the passage. First of all, we're going to have a look at John's testimony in verses 31 to 36. And later on, have a look at the Father's testimony in verses 37 to 47. So first of all, verses 31 to 36 in John's testimony. Have a look with me at verse 31. "If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true." In the first century, a testimony of one man was inadequate in a court of law. You needed two or three witnesses to confirm a case. Here, what Jesus uses is a technical courtroom sort of term, eyewitness. And what we see as testimony in the original language, it comes up 11 times. So Jesus will not testify alone, but he will invite two people to help him. And we see John's testimony and the Father's testimony. If that was in a UK court, you would expect someone who is taking a stand in the witness box. They would usually have to make an oath that what they are going to say is true. When we have a look here at our passage, John the Baptist takes the stand. And at the end of verse 32, we are told his testimony is true. Now, how do we know? Jesus goes on in verse 33. "You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth." Verse 34. "Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved." The entire reason Jesus is calling for human testimony here is so that his own may be saved. Verse 35, John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. If you have ever been in a super dark room, you rejoice when a drop of light, a ray, penetrates through that darkness. But in Jesus' own time, it seems like the people rejoiced when they saw that drop of light from John, and yet reject the beam of light or the flood of light in Jesus. Can you see what Jesus himself says, rather in verse 36? I have testimony greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. So what do you do when you have all the rich historical evidence right before your eyes that point to Jesus as the Messiah beyond a reasonable doubt? You believe and testify. And that's exactly what we see John the Baptist doing. In chapter 1, we see a well-known figure, popular. Today, he would have millions of followers on social media and so on. Or if you work in the city, he's the kind of guy you would be coming across page after page every week. Whether you get on the tube riding to central London, or simply you are at the office grabbing a newspaper and so on. He seemed to be a very popular preacher in his own day. But yet he sees Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 29. Jesus coming to him and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And in John chapter 3, in verses 28 to 30, he tells those around him, he says this, "You yourselves bear witness or testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but I've been sent before him." To do what? To testify. So here we see that John wants us to believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And if you're here today and not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, I hope that you feel welcomed, you're at home. Please speak to someone or leave a note. It will be wonderful to connect with you and also to have a look at the testimony of John in John's Gospel. What we've just seen is the testimony of John, and let's have a look at the Father's testimony in verses 37 to 47. While it will be highly controversial in a UK court to call a judge to testify or putting a judge into the witness box, God the Father doesn't have that problem. His impartiality is perfect. And of course, he doesn't need your judicial immunity if, in case he made a mistake or he was biased in his judgment. So see that the Bible is true, but also we see that the testimony of the Father bears, confirmed by the eyewitness of man, is true. Here we can see Jesus in verse 37, if you can have a look with me. Verse 37, "And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me." But, end of verse 38, "For you do not believe the one who sent me." Jesus' own people, who would have found it perhaps easier to believe with all the historical rich evidence in their own culture, rejected him. Many of those who heard him speak, talk about God the Father and salvation, they rejected Jesus. And often that happens also in our own day. We are usually tempted to think that those who reject Jesus is because they lack evidence. But when we have a look at verse 39, Jesus says, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me." So the question for us this morning is it possible to have all the evidence and yet reject Jesus? Yet do exactly what we see here in verse 40. Jesus says, "Yet you refuse, reject to come to me to have life." Perhaps you noticed as we read the passage earlier on that the word accept comes in four times between verse 41 to verse 44. Verse 43 tells us this: I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. It's complex in our world to understand why some people reject Jesus and others accept him. But for those who reject, here, this passage is really very helpful to us to understand. It's not always because they lack evidence. Someone can have all the evidence and still reject Jesus. Those who reject Jesus, like Jesus' own day, may be hostile to the gospel. Or here, for us here in the UK, someone simply rejecting Jesus in a Britishly polite tone. The rejection of Jesus is still a rejection. This section tells us that those who reject Jesus, they simply reject him out of seeking their own glory, self-glory. Think about someone who says, "Well, I would like to keep my options open." Or simply, who would risk their own work, putting their family in jeopardy, or the social status in our own community? Or no, I won't be a Jesus freak. But Jesus says in verse 46, "If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." Verse 47, "But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say?" So in Jesus' own time, many reject. And we see here that's the very opposite of accept. But Jesus tells his own eyewitnesses, the disciples, to testify regardless of the opposition, to even testify beyond his own death. And that's why John, the one who writes this gospel, says in chapter 21, verse 24, he says this. He says, "This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true." If I am a Christian and believe this, then I must testify and tell others about Jesus Christ. To testify is to simply say, "Jesus is the King, and only in him there is salvation." And we see that often. It's not very comfortable in our own circles. who would like to make other people around them uncomfortable. So testifying about Jesus, telling others about Christ, will unplug us out of our own comfort zones. But we see, nevertheless, the disciples testifying that Jesus is the King, and in Him alone there is salvation. About a week ago, I was invited by a local church here in London to pass out some free barbecue invitation cards to people, so that the next day at the barbecue they may have some sort of opportunity to hear about Jesus. We went through a block of flats, handing out some invitation cards. Some individuals rejected. Some accepted the cards. My takeaway: it was wonderful to have a conversation with a Muslim gentleman, helping me to understand why 1 in 7 Londoners, your next door neighbors, would say that their faith is in Allah. Later on, I had a conversation with someone whose parents were born in the Middle East. So he grew up torn between being a Muslim and being a Christian. He had some Muslim friends and also some Christian friends. And that what he found was, what he said, what we found was that his Christian friends were quite shy, or they seemed to be really shying away from sharing the gospel with him. Yet his Muslim friends were quite adamant and always very argumentative with him. You must commit yourself to Allah. Then one of those days, he was having conversation with his Muslim friends, and the conversation turned to Nabi Isa, that's Jesus. And it clicked within him that I must put my faith in Jesus Christ. Today, he testifies that only Jesus is the Savior of all, the King we have just sung about. To testify about Jesus may look quite different in different circumstances. To you, it may mean maybe grabbing the booklets, one-on-one with a work colleague at Starbucks and talk about Jesus. Or perhaps to someone else, it may mean simply inviting a next-door neighbor to a picnic and share your hope in Christ. And yet still, all of us here at Emmanuel Croydon can perhaps invite a friend at the next Alpha course that the church will be running. Do you remember Mariana and Berta? Mariana shared, testified that only in Christ there is salvation. Berta rejected. But yet, it's good news to know that not all reject Jesus. At the same time, we were training Mariana to reach out to others with the gospel in the circle of silence. We were also training another young man. His name is Isaac, in a town called San Franco. In San Franco, Don Juan and his family not only believed in Jesus, but they also invited their own amigos to hear the good news in Christ. On a cloudy Saturday afternoon, we witnessed a great work from God as Don Juan, his family, and some amigos were baptized that day. 9 were dunked to the water as they entrusted their lives to Christ. And friends, that's the joy of gospel partnership with Emmanuel Croydon. To know that we can get out the gospel across the street here in Croydon and across the world in Mexico. So as we finish, will you reject Jesus, or will you accept Jesus? And if you are here today and have trusted in Jesus, will you testify Share with others around you that only on him there is salvation, hope for eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are very thankful that in you there is life and life forever. Please help us to believe that. Please help us to testify with those who do not know you yet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.